Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks. My pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just you and me now for the next couple of segments. I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about some of the things that I'm interested in as a small business owner, and that I'm going to be interested in watching the new government, the new administration with the new Congress, how they approach certain things. And there are a lot of points of light, so to speak, that we need to be thinking about, a lot of different issues that are going to be impacting us. But there are a couple of three that I really wanted to talk about right now, and I'll be following some of the others. You know, some of the things we could be talking about is, you know, whether the government should get involved in the bailout of companies and all the different things. That's for another time, which we'll talk about. But right now, what I want to talk about are some of the things that, these aren't particularly things that I was concerned about earlier. I was concerned about it, but I haven't talked about these in a little while. As we have a President Obama, and as we have a Congress that's going to be very, very heavily dominated by Democrats, a much increased majority in the House, and an almost supermajority. We still don't know. There's still some Senate races that are hanging out there. We still don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But right now, the Senate has 57 Democrats, counting the two independents, the caucus with the Democrats, and 43 Republicans. And there still are three or four, I think, Senate seats that are still up for grabs right now. So anyway, so they've almost got a supermajority in the Senate. And if they do, and whenever they have that ability to block the filibuster, then whatever President Obama and whatever the Democrat Party leaders of those two houses want, they will be able to do. And that's just the way it is. It would be the same thing if it were the other way, if it were the Republicans. Now, it's been a long time since any president had a supermajority, a majority in the House and a supermajority filibuster-proof Senate in the with the same party. It's been a long time since any party had that kind of control over the government. I think it goes back, if I'm not mistaken, this goes back to Carter, to the 70s. Now remember, I'm talking about having a filibuster-proof Senate, not just a majority in the Senate, but a supermajority in the Senate. So here are a couple of things I want you to be watching for. These are real concerns of mine as somebody who believes in capitalism, as somebody who believes in free markets, somebody who believes in laissez-faire principles, which means the government kind of stays out of our hair. That's me. And so watch for these things. If you sort of align with my thinking, then you know, or even if you don't, watch for these things. And let's talk about free trade for a second. History has taught us that obstructing global trade, you know, regardless of what Lou Dobbs or anybody else says, trade among nations is critical to the viability of a global of our country, of our world. Of our world. We've got to trade among ourselves, nations among ourselves. I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you of what Frederick Bastiat said over 160 years ago. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. Global trade, ladies and gentlemen, carries with it a peace dividend. It also allows for competition to thrive. It makes all of us better. It makes all of us more competitive. It makes all of us do the things that we're best at doing and let other people do the things that they're best at doing. And that's called the division of labor. Adam Smith talked about it 225 years ago in his book, The Wealth of Nations, the division of labor. It's the foundation of capitalism, of free market economies, the division of labor. And all globalization is, ladies and gentlemen, is the division of labor on a technology race car writ large. That's all it is. And so trade among nations is very important. And what I'm concerned about is that you know, some people, well, let me just say it this way. There are people who are in the leaders of Congress. It's Pelosi, Reid, and I fear that Mr. Obama is this way, and I'll tell you why I think this, because of something he said. Who want to make other nations we trade with comply with all of our little idiosyncrasies about what we think should happen. Now, okay, I think we should encourage countries that we trade with to improve their human rights standards, to improve their environmental standards, to improve some of their labor issues. I don't have a problem with encouraging them to do that. But holding out trade agreements that make sense, when the trade agreement itself would accomplish some of those things, in my opinion, is a mistake. Now, let me give you an example of what we've had a very beneficial trade agreement being held up in with Colombia. Now, Colombia is not a big country. We're not going to do a lot of business with them, but this is a really good example of where I think some of the problems are going to be in the future with trade. The Democrats have been holding up a free trade agreement with Colombia. President Uribe of Colombia, ladies and gentlemen, has been one of the most courageous guys on planet Earth. He's been sticking his finger in the eye of the narco-terrorists. He's been fighting them tooth and nail at his own peril. He's the only guy on the planet who's really stuck his finger in the eye of Chavez in Venezuela. And yet, we won't give this guy a free trade agreement, and here's what Mr. Obama said. He said, "Well, I'm for free trade agreements. I'm for trade agreements, but we didn't like some of the ways that they treated some of their union. It was something about unions or workers." He made some comment. Well, guess what, folks? I'm sure they don't do things down there that we would like, everything we would like for them to do. This is a country that's earned a trade agreement with us that we should give them and say, okay, now we're going to do this, but we would like for you to focus on these things in the process. Give them a little carrot and then add the stick, not the other way around. It's 9 after. I want to talk about this some more, and then cap and trade in a minute, right after these messages. Stay with us. Stand by me. So don't. The hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Brand spanking new coming up probably by tomorrow. Check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We got a new look, complete new look. And then Ask Jim, of course, AskJim.biz, our knowledge base. Okay, folks, I was talking about free trade, and what I was trying to explain is the attitude of President-elect Obama is that free trade in the future, with him and his majority in the Senate and the House, they don't have the same attitude about trade as I do, and that's fine. But what I want them to look back on is our economy is having a tough time right now. Not just our economy, the global economy, ladies and gentlemen, is having a tough time right now. If you look back at the 1930s. The stock market crash of 1929 is not what sent the United States into a depression, ladies and gentlemen. There were two things that happened that caused the Great Depression to start and to strengthen and to get worse. One was the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Bill, which was a protectionist bill. We put up trade barriers. Other people put up corresponding trade barriers right back at us. So companies stopped doing business with each other. And then the second thing that happened was they raised taxes. Hoover raised taxes, and Roosevelt raised them even more. And so those two things caused the Depression to get deeper and wider and worse. Let's take a note from that history, ladies and gentlemen. Let's don't put up barriers to trade. And here's another thing to point out, ladies and gentlemen. If in the 21st century, if we don't want to trade with these countries, guess what? They'll go right around us and trade with other people. They can get a lot of the stuff we want from somebody else. We stand a chance of being, you know, shut out of a lot of markets by our trade barriers because we have these ideas about how we think other people ought to behave. So watch for that. I'm concerned about the free trade aspect, not only because I think free trade is the right thing. I think it's going to be essential for us to get out of this economic challenge we've got. And here's another thing I want to talk about, and I'll be talking about this some more, and that is what's called cap and trade. Now, people who believe that that humans are causing are the primary reason why we're having climate change believe that it's that we got to do something a lot quicker than I think we should. I think that there is global warming going on. I think maybe there's a chance human beings are involved in that. I don't think we're the only reason. I think there are many reasons. I think it's awfully presumptuous and arrogant of us to think that humans could have that much of an impact on something that's been going on since the Earth has been formed. We've had heating and cooling periods for billions of years, and we're going to continue to have those. So one of the things that the Obama administration and the Democrat Congress is going to try to pass this next year, I believe that within 1 to 2 years, they'll try to pass a cap and trade bill, which what that means is they will make carbon emissions a commodity. They'll make the carbon that comes out of your furnace, out of your car, out of your mouth maybe, that you expel out of your body, who knows where. They're going to make that a commodity. They're only going to allow you to, you're going to know what your carbon footprint is. You're going to be given a carbon footprint, basically, you and your business and your family. And when you exceed what you've been allotted as a human being and a business on planet Earth in the United States, you will be allotted a certain amount of carbon. And if you exceed that, you're going to have to pay for that. You're going to have to write a check for that in the form of a carbon tax. Now, if you can buy that from, if you can buy something, if a family member doesn't use as much as you, they don't use all their carbon, and you want to buy it from them, they can sell it to you. If there's a business that has carbon and availability, and you want to buy it from them, you can buy it from them. That's what I mean when I say they want to make carbon a commodity. Now, on its face, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. But here's the problem. What is that footprint going to look like? How much is it going to be? And some of the people who I'm afraid are going to be in charge of this decision think that we need to take our carbon emissions as a nation back to pre-1990 levels. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an almost $13, $14 trillion economy in the United States right now. 1989, our economy was less than $6 trillion. So they're going to want you and me, with almost the stroke of a pen, passing of a law, perhaps over, hopefully they'll grow it in over a few years, but not nearly enough. They're going to want you and me to produce at a $12, $13, $14 trillion level economy with less than half of the energy that we were using, at least the carbon energy, the carbon-based energy that we were using. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that's going to work. I think that's going to be detrimental, extremely detrimental to our national economy and therefore the global economy. Now, why am I saying all this? I want you to know about it. I want you to be informed about it. I want you to start reading about it because guess what, folks? We're going to have to, all of us small business owners, we're going to have to let our government know how we feel about these things. We can't just count on any government anymore to do the right thing. We have to get more involved. I hope you'll help me do that. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.